Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change in not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually. And as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this.
I ask if you would open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to start our reading at verse 13. Matthew 16, 13 through 19. When you have it, say amen. Amen. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I'm going to read verse number 18 one more time, and it says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. The word of the Lord is blessed indeed. I want to use for a subject topic this morning, the prevailing church. This is who we are. We are a prevailing church. We're prevailing because we belong to God. And wherever he is, he wins. We are living in a day where truth is not accepted anymore as absolute. Facts are now regarded as personal perspectives. Justice is no longer impartial, and integrity is not regarded as an essential imperative. Morality is up for grabs, and if you think that it's right, then it must be right because it's right to me and nobody else can judge me. What's happening with the world? We're living in a day where people would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. People would normally, regularly now accept fictional over factual. People now revel in the shadows and run from illumination. What is going on in the world? The Bible is clear. The Bible is clear and provides us a description of what's happening and what's going to go on in the earth. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7 says it like this: "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous and boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent and fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the word of God giving us clear understanding of the state of the world that we're living in. It's in the last days. There's going to be a rise of anti-Christianity. Do we see it today? In the last days, it literally says there's going to be difficult times. Think about many of the things that we are handling and grappling with in this day and age. We can agree that we are living in perilous or difficult or grievous times. The Bible says that men are going to be covetous. They're going to want more than they're willing to give. They're going to boast. It's boasting. It talks about empty boasting, not possessing but lying about what they have. Do you know any people that just exaggerate the truth? Right? This is the day that we're living in. People have lives on social media that look like they're living it up. They will take pictures in front of other people's cars, trying to make it look like they're living an extravagant life while they're full of debt. Because it's all for appearances, right? Right? They live for the lie, what somebody else has to say. They live for the likes on social media. But it does not necessarily tell the truth. God wants us to walk in truth. Hallelujah. This is why God calls us together to work in families. And watch this. This is why sometimes we have difficulty in relationships. Because the enemy doesn't want there to be discernment among the ranks, right? But the church has to be able to see and discern what sometimes goes on behind the smiles that we wear on our faces. Hallelujah. I don't have to look busted to be busted. I don't have to look broken to be broken. Right? But there needs to be somebody with enough Holy Ghost discernment that when I step into the room, they're able to search me out and be able to see where I really am and not just feed into the appearance, but know how to minister truly to sometimes our broken hearts. Hallelujah. This right here is the power that God gives to the prevailing church. God is clear that all of these things that we have just named, they're happening today. And if we really sit back and think about it, it's happening in our homes. It happens on our jobs. We see it. We know it. It happens in our churches. We see it and we know it across the world. It's happening not just on the outside, but it happens on the inside. How many of you find yourself fighting against emotions that you sometimes otherwise didn't have to fight against? Right? This is the enemy trying to come and launch an attack against the people of God. But I want you to know today that we are a prevailing church. Hallelujah. As it happens, we need to be aware of the times and very aware of the impact of the times that this will have on people. The Bible says it like this, that even the very elect will be deceived. We can't afford for a second to become discombobulated and fall asleep at the helm of the ship. We need to be aware and vigilant and focused so we aren't led away by deception. Jesus asks a series of questions. And these are serious questions that he asks. They're questions with meaning. They're viable. They're living questions. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What's the meaning of this question? In other words, he's asking them, are you out in the world handling your affairs? And as you're going through your day to day, what is the talk of the day concerning me? What's the mindset of people concerning me? In other words, are you paying attention to your surroundings? My God. Some people saw the miracles, but some heard about them. Some heard his discourse with the Pharisees and with the Sadducees. Some heard him speaking in the synagogue. Some heard the Sermon on the Mount. Some people heard about what was said on the Sermon on the Mount. And based upon certain events, there is also a common perspective. So we saw what we saw. We heard what we heard. And this is what we receive. This is what we believe. People will look from a distance and draw conclusions. Don't have to know the truth. Don't have to have evidence. Doesn't have to be based in facts. They just see a video and have a perspective. The whole world in this video-rich environment that we're living in, everybody is a roving journalist now. Have a phone that has media devices on it, and no matter what it is that we see, we, from a distance, begin to record and then draw narrative. Have not conducted any interviews. Don't know how things have started and how they ended, but we draw conclusions on sound bites. 5 minute seconds, one statement, and we just completely misconstrue the narrative, and we'll take it and we'll draw a conclusion and make a decision and then post about it on Facebook, on TikTok, and Instagram, and YouTube. And then we'll provide our misguided narrative on the situation and then garner comments about your misguided perspective and then have arguments in the comment section about your misguided perspective. And the whole world has accessibility to hear your lie and believe it as truth because of 5 seconds of a conversation. Pastor Shine, make me sick. Somebody will take what I just said, put it on social media. Pastor Rod just said, Pastor LaShawn, make him sick. They must be headed for divorce. Tell me, where's the lie? A preacher said something in the pulpit, and without even going and doing any fact checking, without hearing the message, got on social media and began to blast this preacher all out for the world to see. How are we supposed to show them love when all we're doing is blasting each other on social media? Don't even know what's going on. The Bible says, if a man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore him. Not post about him on social media. Not drag his name through the mud. Not talk about him. Not put put him down, not do like the world, and to watch this, possibly use his demise as your come up. But then we want to talk about power. It's not how it works. The world don't even know that we real because we can't love each other. Hallelujah. So the world that we know, they live off of opinion-based commentary. And they don't even have full accessibility to the truth. Hallelujah. So there's so much that goes on, and all it does is it causes innuendo and rumors and gossip, and it strips power. It strips the effectiveness. Oh my, it strips the authenticity from the church. It's one thing about church folk doing it to church folk. But you know, it's done, unsaved folk do that to us too. Right? Here's the thing that bothers me sometimes. Unsaved folk have become subject matter experts on Christianity. You ain't been saved a day in your life. Outside of weddings and funerals, you don't know what the inside of a church look like. Grandma didn't take you to church, mom and them didn't raise you in church, and you don't go to church. But the first thing you see about a Christian now, you're a subject matter expert on how Christians supposed to be. Right? I had somebody tell me, and this is where it's coming from. I had a real conversation with the person. And somebody told me that because I'm a pastor, I can't get upset. I almost said, come to the side, let me tell you something. Told me, you're a pastor. You can't get mad. You're not supposed to get upset. So I asked him, I said, where did you get that from? He said, I got it from the Bible. Mm-hmm. I asked him, what Bible? Are you sure it wasn't a bubble? Because it's not the Bible. Right? Are you sure it wasn't a dictionary? You ain't going to find it there either. You didn't get it out the Bible that I read, not the Holy Bible that is the authority from the mouth of God that was given to man, that's given to us so that we can live our life. What? Show me in the scripture. Show me. I already know that you're not a Christian, but now I need you to exegete scripture for me with your excellent saved self that knows so much about Christ. Show me. Is it in Genesis? Is it in Exodus? Is it in Revelation? Is it in Acts? Where is it? Show me the scripture. Challenge accepted. Show me, bro. He said, it's in the Bible. I said, no. I said, what's in the Bible is be angry but sin not. Now, I can get mad, but until I cuss you or cut you, then I'm wrong, right? And I'm struggling on the inside not to cut you now. And if you didn't know, the Holy Ghost is on the inside. The Bible says I can be angry but don't sin. The Bible says I can be angry, but don't hold grudges, right? You almost got it right, but it's more to the narrative. You heard somebody say something that you don't know, that you don't know, that you don't understand what you heard, and now you're trying to repeat what you heard based on opinion and not facts because you're not in what I'm in, so you don't know what I know. Opinion-based. So you almost got it right. Then I asked him, I said, why are you not a Christian anyway? He said, because there's too many hypocrites in the church. I said, all right. I said, well, since you seem to have so much intel on what it requires to be a good Christian, Why don't you get saved and help us hypocrites? Why don't you join, be one, and show us how to live better? The whole Christian community will thank you for your service. You know, I wasn't going to get back with him. I'm going to talk to you with logic. I'm going to talk to you with truth and understanding. Hopefully, this is something that will penetrate your opinion-based commentary of which you don't know that you don't know nothing about. All right? Hallelujah. So this is one way. This is one way where we can tell. It's a telltale sign of the last days that we're living in. People will march forward. I'm pretty sure. I'm confident that I'm not the only one that he said that to in his argument about his disdain about church folk. Right? So people will march with ideas even if they are not true. Here's another idea you can walk with, and it might not be true. I can identify, and I'm telling you guys right now, I'm making a grand announcement. Make sure I'm on tomorrow. I identify as a motorcycle. I identify as a motorcycle. I stand here, but I am a motorcycle. Can y'all accept that? Why can't y'all accept it? Because it's not true, right? Huh. Think you heard what I said. Said what I said, right? Now watch this. I can identify as a motorcycle all I want, right? But if I get out there on the street, I'm waiting for the light to turn green, DePaul. As soon as that light turned green, I got about a good 50 yards. 50, and I need to sit down and take a break. Ain't no wheels in these shoes, bro. I don't possess the wherewithal to be a motorcycle. I don't care what you identify with. There are telltale signs that's going to tell you what you are. You can add stuff, but you still got a rib missing. Y'all ain't got to say nothing to me. You still one rib short from being what you're trying to be. Y'all think about that in creation. Because God took the rib from the man and he made a woman. And what sets us apart, there's an extra rib. The anatomy will tell on you. And I can identify as a Harley Davidson 2020 Road King if I want to. When I stand before Jesus, he shall see me as I am. We have to be able to love the truth. We can love the truth, right? You see, these false identifiers will find themselves run over on the road of life. And it's our job, watch this, to tell them the truth. To love them and tell them the truth. Not make fun of them, not talk about them, not browbeat them, not excommunicate them, but love them and tell them the truth. I don't have to agree with you to love you. This is real stuff, right? Our job is to be able to pick them up. Right? God hasn't thrown them out and just gave them up. As long as there's life, there's opportunity. right? And this is what we're called to do. We are called here, watch this, to be restorers of the breach. But in order to restore the breach, we have to be willing to tell the truth. Hallelujah. The church, if the church is going to prevail, it can't prevail on the lie. All lies fall, right? Hallelujah. But then I believe that there could be another question. There's another reason for the question. It's part of Jesus' earthly responsibility was to prepare the disciples for ministry. Right? He wants to know that they were aware of the times and that they were aware of the goings on of the day. Jesus prayed for us, and this is how I can tell you, back this up with scripture. Jesus prayed for us in John 17, 14 through 18. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. You hear that? Because of the word that governs your life, people are going to hate you. Don't look to be liked. Expect to be hated when you tell the truth. Right? Because they are, watch this, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But I pray that you shouldn't take them out of the world, but I pray that as you keep them in the world, you don't cause them to be subjected to all the evil in the world. They are not of the world as I am not of the world. In it, not of it. So sanctify them through thy truth. What sets the church apart is truth. Right? It's not compromise. It's not trying to look like the world to gain the world. The Bible says we can gain the world and lose our souls. Right? So we're not trying to look like the world, we're trying to look like Jesus. Amen? So we're in the world, yet not of the world. What that means is we're to make interactions with people. We're to have interactions and meetings, and we're to have friends. We can have a friend, right? However, we're not influenced by their ideologies. Right? Hallelujah. In the world, this is what God has called us to do, not to become recluses. We are not to sit in our houses and hide until it's time to come to church. We are not to sit in our houses and hide until it's time to come to church. Right? We're supposed to get out. We're supposed to have our ear to the street to find out what's going on, right? 2 Corinthians 16 and 17, it says, come out from among them and be separate. Watch this. It don't mean wear white and walk on the other side of the street when you see them coming. It don't mean walk around grocery shopping and you got the Bible on your shopping cart and you pushing it around. It don't mean that. It means don't allow the sin that they make peace with enter into your mind where you make peace with that same mediocrity. All right? It's enough stuff that goes on in the world. We got a decision to make. Every day, decision. I could go left or I could go right. Father, help me to go right. I heard what you said, N-E-G-G, and I could go there with you, but help me go right. That's right. Call on them, baby. Call on them. Because we want to be a prevailing. Right? I'm not trying to give the world narrative. Here's what a famous bishop told me. A famous bishop, Bishop Gaskins. Famous bishop. Here's what he told me. He said, people are going to say all kinds of things about you. They're going to. Just don't let what they said be true. You can't control what they say, but you can control if it's valid. When you dabble in truth, when you live with justice and honesty, when you live with integrity, people can say whatever they want to say. Half mouth will talk. Half brain will make an opinion, right? It's going to happen. But you can control the narrative by your conduct, right? And if we're going to prevail, then we have to be lovers of truth, right? This is what God has called us to do, right? God has called us to come out of the old ways and no longer be led around by our flesh. But it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, right? And I want to show the world that I'm a son, right? One thing about son is they receive inheritance. They get passed down blessing from the Father, right? And the same power that caused Jesus to rise up from the grave is now on the inside of you, and to get up from dead works and sin. And now we're living new lives in Christ Jesus. So This is how I want to be able to show the world we are a prevailing people, all right? So here's something that sometimes happens in the church. There's a responsibility of discipleship is relevance. Relevance. You want to be relevant, right? This is drawn from those questions. Who do men say that I am? In order to be around people, sometimes you can't be a jerk. To be culturally relevant, it does not mean that I compromise my position. It just means that I'm entreatable. I'm nice, right? Say hey to me. The Lord is so great, and Psalm 12 says, nobody, hey, how you doing? You good? All right, you all right today? How your family? Amen. Do you know, that was a really nice conversation where we can just be entreatable, right? Pastor Sean, how you doing today? You good? All right. Mel, you all right? Right? What am I saying? You can be a real person, right? It's okay. It's okay. I'm not wearing a suit every day. Now I'm wearing one on Sunday, unless I feel like it. And I don't have to prove that I'm saved, because my salvation is not caught up in my clothing and my attire. It's on my heart, right? I just want my life to be of such. I want to be so relevant that when somebody is going through a hard time, they look for us. Pray me through this. That's where we need to be. This is how the church will prevail, right? Watch this. Some people ain't coming to church because church been so fake for so long. And as long as we keep subscribing to the flesh, watch this, trying to be, this ain't the Potter's house. This is true gospel. And as much as I appreciate the forward thinking of Bishop Jakes, I'm Pastor Rod. I'm not going to walk around the stairs. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm not trying to be him. That's not what God called me to do. I'm going to be my authentic self, not fake. The world is looking for a real church. How will we prevail when we are the authentic selves that God created us to be, and we go out and we do business and we love them as God loves us? Prevailing church. So we have to be willing to have relationships that are truthful. We have to be willing to know what the world is talking about. We need to have wisdom on how to interject the kingdom and kingdom mentality into the world, right? This is how you got to be slick about it. I was having a conversation with a maintenance person, and they call him Crying Brian, right? Because they say whenever you talk to him, he's going to be negative. He's never going to agree with you. He's always going to be pessimistic. So I went out there and I began to talk to him. And true to form, he was extremely pessimistic. But then I started talking and asking God, give me wisdom on how to break through to his mindset. And in the middle of the conversation, I said, you know, bro, it's something to be said about the power of agreement. Because how can two walk together lest they be agreed? Now, he didn't know that it was scripture. To him, it was just a conversation. But, you know, when we started talking about the power and the principles of agreement and how through unity there can be more that can be accomplished, this is all scripture. And it changed his mind. He said, you know what? There's a whole lot more than we can do. I can support what you're saying, Rod. I'll get on board and I'll make sure I talk to my team. He didn't know that he had just been scripturalized. Right? But it was kingdom principle. And God will give the church wisdom. Oh, my God. He who wins souls must be wise. Right? So God will give us wisdom on how to interject, how to push in kingdom into their mindset. Right? This is why God asked. All of this is why he asked the questions. Who do men say that I am? Are you in a place where you're developing relationships with people that are positive but moving in the right direction, where you're not being influenced by the world? And then he says, but I hear what you say, because they gave a response, right? Who do men say that I am? Some say you're this, some say you're that. You know, they believe in, so they're all that means is that the people are talking and they're forming opinions, right? Some say you're one of the prophets who came back from the dead. Somebody said you're Jeremiah. Somebody said you're Isaiah. This is who people are saying. Then Jesus asks another question. Thank you for giving me what they're saying and revealing to me that you're relating to people. But on top of what they're saying, you've been with me, though. And because you're with me, the question takes on a different dynamic. Give me 5 minutes, and I'm trying to be done. I'm not promising you anything. Right? He says, who do you say that I am? This is a good question, because this is the game-changing question. I can't help but think, if asked the question of God, who do you say that I am? What would be your response? What narrative, what relationship building experience do we have to be able to sufficiently answer the question? Jesus says, others have seen me, but you have been with me. Others heard the message, but I pulled you away privately, and I poured words of life into you so that you can have further clarification of the dictates of the kingdom of heaven. He says, what do you say about me? Have you become watered down with the thoughts and opinions of people who peek through the windows, or has your perspective been adjusted because you follow me? Simon Peter answers and says, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I shall say unto thee that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word is, the church that is built by Jesus will prevail. Christ here promises to preserve and secure his church. Say, I'm preserved. Say, I'm secured. As long as we stay in Christ, we are preserved. We are secure. And when he builds anything, it will prevail. Here's the understanding. Simon Peter, the word Simon means a reed. A reed is like a twig or a branch that's you can move it. It's kind of like this. It has no substance. It has nothing it can't hold any weight, right? It moves around. So he said, Simon Barjona, you are blessed. You little weakling, you blessed. But this day your name will be Peter. Peter, I don't have a rock. Yes, I do. This is like a rock. The day that you receive revelation from Jesus or from God, your molecular structure of who you are is forever changed. You were Simon, but Simon Barjona, now you are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Who is he building the rock on? Not on Peter. But he's building, his church is built on revelation. See, when God provides real revelation, you can stand on it. Whatever man tries to build is shaky. It has no foundation. It has no strength. I'm telling you right now today, if I start preaching another gospel that is not Jesus, I have just become Simon. I have just become shaky. I have just become questionable. But if I'm preaching Jesus, it's a rock that you can stand on. If I'm preaching truth, it's a rock of permanence that will cause us to be able to stand. It will cause us to be able to stay. And this is what he's saying. Up on this rock, on this revelation, on this truth, on this understanding that has been revealed from heaven, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. How does the gate of hell try to prevail against the church? With opinions and lies. Doctrines that are not built upon truth, but they are built on manipulation. I want to look good. We need to be the biggest. We need to be the best. You know, aspiration is built out of this. But the Church of Jesus Christ is not like the world. We don't need aspiration. We need revelation. And because I've got revelation from on high, I can stand on it. Hallelujah. Isn't this something? We put this here years ago, and I never knew I was going to use that in an analogy. God is good. God will give you something years ago that you never knew why you put it there, but you're going to need it later on. That's how God works. All right? And the church will prevail. All right? We're still here in the world today, possessing the power of Jesus Christ, standing as lively stones representing the body of Christ. We are the called out ones, his workmanship. We are part of the prevailing body. And we have all been given a responsibility. What's our responsibility? To continue the cause of Christ, to declare good news to the poor, to be instant in the word, in season and out of season. Watch this. When it looks like we've lost, we've already won. It might look like you may have lost many things through this season, but you've already won in Christ Jesus. There is kingdom fortitude and momentum in everything that God establishes. And the Lord told me to tell you this: I am God and I will have my way. Hallelujah. In overcoming, we overcome. In deliverance, we have been delivered. And this is how I'm going to close, and I want you to stand with me today. We need to be filled with joy and gladness because of what the Lord has already done. The Lord gave me this for closing today, and I don't know how it's going to go across, but this is what he said to tell you. He told me to tell you, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He says, as he is our prevailing Lord, he told me to tell you to serve the Lord with gladness. He told me to tell you that every day that you wake up, come before his presence with singing. Why? He says, I want you to know that I, the Lord, am your God. He said, tell you that it's him who's made us and not we ourselves. He told me to remind you that you are his people, that you are the sheep of his pasture. So he says, every day that you wake up, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. He says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? Because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. He says he is the Lord of a prevailing church and he is the shepherd of the sheepfold. He says as long as you live, you will prevail. It might not look like it, but you're prevailing. You might not think it, but you're prevailing. The doctor may have given you a word that does not sound like prevailing, but we are a prevailing church. Lift up your hands.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.